call the meeting to order. Our first item of business is the approval of the agenda. Ms. Cornwell, any changes to the agenda?
There are no changes to the agenda.
Make a motion to accept the agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the agenda as posted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Our next item is approval of minutes for April 26, 2018. Were there any changes to the minutes? I didn't notice any.
We didn't have any. Unless any staff had any, they would be then as proposed.
Yeah. I didn't see any. Okay. So I make a motion to approve the minutes of April 26th.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes for April 26, 2018. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Our first item of old business is subdivision 2018-2, Outer Banks North and Outer Banks South, Edge Marine, LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant preliminary approval for subdivision 2018-2 for Edge Marine, LLC, based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this subdivision is the location of a previously approved subdivision and an equestrian center. Both of those prior approvals have expired. Two, the applicant is seeking approval of a subdivision within the environmentally sensitive developing area in the AR1 zoning district. Minimum lot sizes are 7,500 square feet. The applicant is seeking clustered lots with a minimum area of 10,000 square feet. Three, the proposed subdivision will have no more than 49 lots on approximately 32.677 acres, more or less. This results in a density that is well within the maximum density permitted in the AR1 zone for a project within the environmentally sensitive developing area. Four, this subdivision will not have a significant impact on the neighboring properties or roadways. Five, the proposed subdivision meets the purpose and standards of the subdivision code, and the applicant has addressed the requirements of section 99-9C of the code. Six, the project will be served by Central Water. Seven, the development complies with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan as a low-density, single-family dwelling subdivision. Eight, the subdivision will not impact any wetlands, and a 30-foot buffer has been provided between non-tidal wetlands and any lot lines. Nine, the development will include approximately 16.48 acres of open space. Part of this open space includes 7.38 acres of wetlands and the buffers that the applicant is installing around the wetlands areas. 10, the subdivision consists of two separate areas of uplands. They will be connected by a walking and bike path. 11, no parties appeared in opposition to this application. 12, this preliminary approval is subject to the following. A, there shall be no more than 49 lots within the subdivision. B, the developer shall establish a homeowners association responsible for the maintenance of streets, roads, buffers, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. The stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex County Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. D, a forested or landscaped buffer of at least 30 feet in depth shall be installed along the entire perimeter of the project. The final site plan shall contain a landscape plan for all of these areas. E, as stated by the applicant, there shall be a wetland buffer of at least 30 feet from all non-tidal wetlands. The required 50-foot buffer from all tidal wetlands and perennial streams shall also be met or exceeded in all cases. The subdivision shall be served by Sussex County for sewer service. G, the subdivision shall be served by a publicly regulated central water system providing drinking water and fire protection. H, street design shall meet or exceed Sussex County standards. I, the development shall be served by on-site active amenities such as a pool and pool house with restroom facilities. The developer shall complete all amenities prior to the issuance of the 25th residential building permit. J, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. K, deliveries of dirt, fill, or other similar materials shall only be made to or from the site between the hours of 8 a.m. through 5 p.m., Monday through Friday only. L, the final site plan shall indicate all forested areas that will be preserved. M, Kitty Hawk Drive shall be stubbed to the western boundary line for possible future interconnection. N, a revised preliminary site plan, either depicting or noting these conditions, must be submitted to the Office of Planning and Zoning. O, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Mr. Chairman, that is my motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve subdivision 2018-2, Outer Banks North and Outer Banks South. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. Wheatley, I just wanted to remind you that the applicant had agreed to that
I just know that's a subject near and dear to your heart, and I wanted to see the happy expression on your face.
I saw the glance this way. I thought you were looking at me.
Oh, man.
The next item is conditional use number 2024, Jerry Burke. Mr. Robertson, I think we had a question regarding the deed restriction.
Yeah, as you'll recall, there was some testimony or question that came up during the public hearing about whether this property was part of the Cripple Creek subdivision, whether there are any restrictive covenants that were governing it, and if there were any covenants that governed it, whether they prohibited commercial uses on that property. I'll say at the outset, I'm not 100% sure that what was talked about during the hearing was entirely a commercial use and not, you know, just permitted as agricultural, but that's sort of a different topic. But to summarize, we went and did a search on the property and found a couple things. One, it's not part of the Cripple Creek subdivision, so it's not included within the perimeter of that subdivision. However, when the Hudson family owned all this property and developed Cripple Creek, they realized that this was sort of near Cripple Creek, so they made it subject to some but not all of the Cripple Creek restrictive covenants. I will say that none of the Cripple Creek covenants that we saw for the subdivision or for this property said anything about commercial uses. But it was fairly interesting. There was some language in the covenants that was unique that I had never seen before, that sort of is worth bearing out this evening just because it plays on the application. And this applies to everybody in Cripple Creek, and it carried forward to this particular property. And it was paragraph 23, and it's entitled Neighborhood Cooperation and Coexistence. And if you'll bear with me, it's worth reading it into the record.
You're quoting from?
I am quoting from the recorded restrictive covenants for both Cripple Creek and also for this lot. The property owners of Cripple Creek are aware of and agree to Cripple Creek being a farm-type rural community where people have the freedom to grow crops, livestock, and fowl, and that in the normal course of these agricultural and rural activities, there may be some noise, odor, or dust that could be offensive to non-agricultural type people or those not yet accustomed to a rural existence. Therefore, the residents of Cripple Creek agree not to institute or be a party to any petitions or legal action against any agricultural activities in Cripple Creek or the surrounding agricultural areas, as Cripple Creek residents are in favor of agricultural activities and are aware of the dust, noise, and odor that it could occur on occasion. I bring that out because that's the first time I've seen the term used in Sussex County of officially, I guess, in a recorded document, of non-agricultural type people. So apparently they're a category.
New class.
All their own, yeah. And actually, it's kind of interesting even further. It gives more specificity on the type of livestock and fowl you can have. It says that on this property, and actually Ms. Burke's entitled to have twice the number of livestock as people within Cripple Creek. They're only allowed to have 20 livestock, including long-eared mules, or she's allowed to have 20 livestock, including long-eared mules, whereas Cripple Creek is only allowed to have 10 livestock, including long-eared mules. Mm-hmm. But it also says there shall be no more than a total of 2 pigs or hogs, and there shall be no more than 50 fowl. And it actually is really helpful in breaking that down even further, because it says in the recorded restrictive covenants, and I quote, to help in choosing your desired livestock and or fowl, the following is a maximum total of each livestock or fowl allowed on Ms. Burke's property. 8 horses, 3 sheep, 8 goats, 8 cattle, 10 geese, 10 ducks, 25 chickens, 2 pigs or hogs.
Partridge in a pear tree.
So anyway, it seems like Cripple Creek, they had an understanding that everything around there was going to be agricultural, and possibly with livestock, including long-eared mules. So there's, you know, somewhat of an expectation that this type of use would occur there. I would point out that there are also in the restrictions some talk about nuisance, and I bring that up because it came up during the public hearing. It doesn't give a great deal of specificity what is or is not a nuisance, and I would point out that as far as the county's concerned, at least, that's really an aesthetic consideration, and I don't think that the county should get into making a determination
what's pretty.
You know, somebody's nature is somebody else's nuisance or vice versa, you know. I'm not even sure that's 100% enforceable as a restrictive covenant standing on its own, but it's just not something that
especially
we should
get
long-eared
into. Mule.
So, yeah.
So really absent the education for the children and the commercial chicken, this is really a permitted use, what she's asking for. There's an argument could be made that she actually doesn't need a conditional use at all.
That's what I'm curious is.
Yeah, it could be permitted, you know, and I guess on the one hand, the record is not 100% clear that it's permitted, because she did talk about potentially some things that would require conditional use, depending on what she does with the school and other things. You know, so it seems like it's up to the commission. There's sort of two courses of action here, it seems like, is one to deny it and say it's permitted. But that doesn't necessarily give her a clear path forward either. The other would, if you so choose to say that, you know, that it is appropriate for conditional use and just put whatever appropriate conditions you think are necessary on it.
So if she's just going to have a few kids come out there on occasion, I mean, in other words, are we opening up, are we going to make it harder for her if we approve this, because then can she continue to have folks come over and while she's trying to jump through a whole bunch of more hoops that the state could put on her?
Well, and I guess that's, you know, it sort of depends on what she's trying to do. Like, for example, if she's trying to work with the Sussex Consortium in the school district, you know, like we may say it's permitted, but they might ask, well, what permits do you have for that? Are you approved by the county for that particular use? I will tell you, it's a fine line as to whether it's permitted or not, because the flip side of it is I don't want somebody else who's, you know, got a farm somewhere now to look at this and say, well, sheesh, what am I doing? You know, I've got some people that are helping me out on my farm and I'm selling stuff at a roadside stand, which is a permitted use. You know, how's that any different from what we've made this lady go through for a conditional use? You know, so that's sort of the decision to make. I don't know that one's right and one's wrong. It's sort of what maybe better suits the situation.
Right, but even if we were saying we deny it because it's already permitted and she doesn't need that, then she would have that to go forward, correct?
That's right.
So, I mean, that would say...
Yeah, assuming council says the same thing, but yeah, right.
Okay, yeah, there you go. But anyway, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
And just to answer that, too, one of the thoughts that I had, and I think Mr. Ross and I shared this, is that what we don't want to do, because she talked about, like, future things she wants to do. We don't want to, or at least we should consider whether if we say now that, yes, what she's doing is permitted, is that just in 3 years going to make her have to come back through the process that she's in right now as well? You know, that's sort of a thought to consider.
So if she wanted to, like she had said before, she didn't care if we didn't put the commercial kitchen in.
Yeah, right.
So if we took that out completely and just said, as long as you're just having kids over to wander your farm with you,
yeah,
that's a permitted use. When's the break off of it's a commercial venture? Yeah. I mean, if they're giving her money because the kids are coming there, or if it's organized classes, or
I'm not prepared to say 100% tonight on that. So yeah.
just with it.
But that's the concern, though. That's a legitimate concern.
I think, and again, in thinking of not only the applicant but of the neighbors, it's probably better that if we act on the conditional use rather than say no, you know, it's already permitted, because I think with a conditional use we have the opportunity to place conditions. It can be very specific. It certainly, to address the Ms. Stevenson's concern about the possibility of having to come back every time they want to do something, I think we could make it broad enough within you know certain limits that might not be a problem, but I think we're probably better off acting on it one way or another than not acting on it, because that kind of takes the gray area away. If we've you know done our thing, and if County Council likes what we've done, then I think you know I think not only the applicant but I think the neighbors too would be best served by that scenario.
I agree with Mr. Wheatley. I think moving forward with the conditional use with appropriate conditions will further define the situation for both sides of the issue,
yep,
and give Ms. Burke more protection in moving forward with what she wants to do.
I would make a motion that we defer this, but my second thing is, can I make a motion that they include that paragraph about non-agricultural people in every homeowners association?
As I was reading that, that's better than our ag use notice.
I'll agree to that on one condition. I want the discriminatory language about the long-haired mules taken out. I think any mule, long or short should be
right.
Permitted.
Deal.
Okay.
Your motion is for deferral?
Yes, I make a motion to defer for further consideration if all the wording correct.
We have a motion and a second to defer action for further consideration by the commission. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Ms. Burke, just so you understand, that will give the commission and the council time to create a proper motion. Our next item is condition use number 2125, RS Cordry Farms, LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I move we recommend approval of conditional use 2125 for RS Cordry LLC for an extension of the conditional use 1242 and the applicant's landscaping business based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this is a 10-acre expansion of CU 1242, which is the applicant's landscaping business located on 16 acres on the opposite side of Cordry Road. The landscaping business has been in business for approximately 20 years at this location. Two, the proposed expansion is on land owned by the applicant and is surrounded by other large tracts of land owned by the applicant. Three, the conditional use will allow the reasonable expansion of the applicant's existing business at an appropriate location for it. Four, the current landscaping business, like the expansion, is very much compatible with the underlying AR, agriculture residential zoning of the property. Five, the applicant is not seeking any additional signage for this expansion. Six, the use will not adversely affect neighboring properties or area roadways. Seven, no parties appeared in opposition to the application. Eight, since there were no conditions imposed as part of conditional use 1242, there is not any recommended conditions imposed as part of this expansion of that original approval. However, the expansion area covered by this conditional use 2125 shall be subject to final site plan approval by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. Mr. Chairman, that's my motion.
Second.
We have a motion and second to recommend approval of conditional use number 2125. RS Cordry Farms, LLC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for our public hearings, and our counsel, legal counsel to my left and your right, has some words of wisdom on how we run our meetings and how we require you to conduct yourselves. Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Ross. As Chairman Ross stated, this is the time for the scheduled public hearings before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberation and the votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the direction of the chairman. Also, if you have a telephone or similar device, we ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission and may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that they identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come up to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We do ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. Also, Sussex County and zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, source of income, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. During the proceedings, no direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. An individual supporting or opposing an application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson. Our first